You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to part two. I'm so happy you're here. Let's dive in where we left off. Is a certain amount of money a deal breaker?
I think for me, when I talk to them, it's about the trajectory. It's not about potential. It's about trajectory. If someone is happy where they're at now and they want to stay in their current role, that is what you explained, then I also think that maybe I would be like, oh, I'm good. Because to me, as we grow and mature, there is a certain dollar sign that should also grow and mature with that. I'm not saying that I'm like after a million. I don't think I've ever honestly been after that. Truly. I think as a little girl, I was like, I want to be rich. But I don't think I ever knew what that meant. And so I think that growth and maturity comes with it fruit and results. And so if someone is happy where they're at right now and they never want to move, they never want to grow, and they literally say to me, I don't want to earn more money than I do right in this moment, and it is at that point, then I honestly think, I think that speaks to a little bit more for me and for what I want than where they're at.
Shante?
I agree.
You agree? So then what I'm hearing,
dollar amount, but just how are they stewarding, you know, what they have, like you said, what is the desire to grow or not grow? Are they honest with, you know, those realities and how it would fit the relationship? But yeah,
because what I'm hearing is, and somebody correct me if I'm off on this. Okay, because what Bobis just said was, if somebody tells her that they're happy where they're at, meaning content. So they're saying they're happy where they're at and they're lying.
No, that's not what I meant. So I'm glad that you said that, because I don't want to miscommunicate that. I don't mean if someone's content. I hope they're content with where they're at. I mean, if they are at where they're at, which is what you just said, which for me doesn't create safety, because it means I also have to work full time, maybe more for us to be able to afford a life in California or wherever you want to live. If you are really sticking with that $25,000 mark,
that's that's fine. What I was trying to say is, your words, a couple of things that you said when you said, if they said that they never want to make more money, or they're where they're at is good for them, that somehow then equates to something that you don't want. So that's why I said, if somebody was content with the field and vocation that they were at, and they do, they love their job, but it just happens to be a job that doesn't make a lot of money, but they're content and happy.
It's not about an amount. To me, it's not. It's about if they are at a place that would be able to provide for a family, then awesome.
But you can provide for a family on $35,000.
Where?
Hendersonville, outside of Atlanta. I'm telling you, a bunch of rural areas, Marion, Ohio, Cleveland.
So then we have different values on the kind of lifestyle or suburbs you want to live in.
Okay, but you keep using the word values.
Interests, expectations, desires, dreams.
And the reason
it's going to come to the end of the road at some point, because to me, it's like if they're at a point in their career where they're happy to stop at a place that honestly in 2023 – that would not, like, I don't know. It's just like if anyone is committed that their life has to stay the same as it is right now, then I don't want to marry them.
No, but what you're conflating is two different things. You got people who enjoy being a teacher, and they'll probably write out their 20 years of being a teacher. But we keep interchanging words and kind of like subtext of like, values.
I honestly think many women that are listening to this, I honestly don't think they're confused. Unless we're speaking to a male audience right now, I truly am being honest. Like, I don't think.
And what I'm trying to tell you as a male, and this is the biggest problem, because you're thinking as a woman and you're not thinking as a male. As I'm hearing you talk, I'm telling you the man, if I was a teacher and I loved it, and I'm like, I want to ride out my 20 years and get my tenure and get my whatever. There's going to be thousands of guys that if they hear this, that are at jobs like this and that they're working hard.
Yeah.
And they're going to incrementally increase. But we're telling them that they don't have the same value as we do because they cannot provide travel. They cannot provide taking care of other people. They cannot whatever. Mm-hmm. So do you understand that when we use terms like this, and I'm not saying that's what you mean. I'm saying that as a guy listening, what is being said is, I'm not enough.
Sure. Even though
I can provide you consistent love, I'm always going to be there. I'm going to show up for you. Whatever you need, I'm there. Like, I'm going to bust my ass to make sure that you have everything that I can possibly give to you. But if it doesn't hit a certain amount, then I'm not for you. So I guess that's why I'm wondering.
Yeah, you actually said the amount when you gave the example of $35,000. I honestly don't have a set amount in my mind. I want somebody to be happy with whatever they're doing because that's going to translate into their entire life and really come back into me. Mm-hmm. And I am the type of ride or die in a relationship where I know that at some point, if the man is in, he can't work, something happens, you know, I will step up and I will do what I have to do to try to take care of the whole family unit if it's necessary. However, on a consistent basis, I'm looking for someone who, like, let's say, and Manny, I know this about you from just following you on socials and just kind of, you have many things that you do. Mm-hmm. And I was speaking to an architect at one point and he was just getting to know me. He says, I have an architectural job and this is what I'm doing, but I'm also looking into investing into like properties on Airbnb and being able to do things here and there. So I like that mentality. I've done that. I've worked 4 jobs at one point in my career because I wanted to make a certain amount of income. Because what's the value system? I wanted to travel, even as a single person. I wanted to help my family. I wanted to do different things because money affords opportunity for things in my book. So you could be a $35,000 Abbott Elementary School teacher, whatever you're doing, you have the ambition to do something, even if it's with me. Let's look into stock. Let's look into property investment. Let's look into flipping something. Like, let's do something because we ain't going to stay at no $35,000. We're trying to have some type of lifestyle here.
Yeah, look, I appreciate that. Like, I hope you guys don't think that I'm saying anything negative about what you're saying. I'm trying to draw light to the fact of, hey, this can be viewed as such. Absolutely. Is this really what you mean? And would you really walk away? Because these are all things that obviously we have to draw lines in the sand. Because as a single person, you guys are out there freaking trying to figure out, who am I going to spend my life with? So there are lines in the sand that I'm going to have to draw. And some of it may look kind of ugly. It may be something said like, and I've heard women say this, if he's not making 100 grand, I can't because I need security. And to them, money means security. Now, some of them come from money. Some of them have been around money. So they understand what kind of security that is. So they're honest in saying like, 100 grand is my limit. And I respect, I don't look down on anyone for saying that there is a limit. But if you were to be honest with yourself inside, is there a limit for you? Because then, you know, that does start dwindling down who's available. And then the always question is like, man, do we really walk away from someone that's super dope if they don't hit this one thing? And I can't answer that, obviously, because, you know, I'm not him. But I ask you guys because I'm like, shit, this is real life. Because you're right, Giselle, you were saying earlier that you're getting older and you're like, and that's not bad. I think you're aging fine like wine, like you're mature, you're all that good stuff. I think it's sexy as hell. But I do understand, statistically speaking, women are on a clock and it's unfair. I don't know why when guys get older, they just get hotter. And when women get older, everything just starts going, you know, like it starts working against them, which kind of sucks to me. I always think older women are hot. So that's just me. Again, not traditional. But because you're constantly aware and the world is constantly making you aware of the clock, where do you give? Do you give? Or do you consider that, which I've heard it said a lot, settling?
Shantae, what you saying wrong?
I'm over here just listening to you guys.
Shall I take a sip? Everybody take a sip.
Gotta take a sip.
Does that make sense? Is there a point where...
Because, I mean, what is settling though?
You know I know, that's what I'm asking. What would be settling for y'all? So that's what I'm saying. Is there a point in time where if you're still single and you have these things that you want, is there ever a point in time where you go back to those things and say, I got to give somewhere?
I'd rather stay alone than to be in a situation where someone is not going to help me out to be better than where I am today.
Okay.
I can do it by myself. Now, again, it was super hard for me to let go of my engagement. That was a super hard decision. One of the hardest decisions that I've had to make, because I was ready to be a wife. I was ready to be married. I was so excited, and that person made a lot less than what I make on a yearly basis, you know? So, and it wasn't that. It wasn't me saying, I wanted them to have ambition. I wanted them to have vision. I wanted them to be proactive. I wanted us to see that we were going somewhere. We had a vision for a future. And again, for me not to have to walk in so much of a masculine where I'm thinking about everything, I'm making all these plans and these adjustments, and he's a beautiful and wonderful guy. And he's going to be great for someone who doesn't have the type of vision that I do. She's going to be in a different place than me. And that's okay. Unless he changes from that point, you know. And if you're watching, I love you and I hope you're doing okay. But
no, but that's good to say. At least you're literally being like, yo, if I got to do this shit alone, if I don't, you know, then that's good to know, because now you have your standard. You're like, I know the consequences. I'm a grown woman. I'm well aware of my A and my B. And I choose this because this is the level of what I want. So I freaking respect that. Bo Beast, do you have a tap out moment, or do you have concessions? Like,
I'm still at the point from before. Listen, I'm still processing all that.
Fair.
Because of my life experience, I'm not apologizing for those things that I said. I stand by it. And I feel like what you were saying was, if someone is at this level of income that I was saying they're not enough, that's what I'm not saying. At the very
freaking hold on. Wait. That's not what I said.
Now, can I finish now?
No, I know, but you're about to go into a point that I didn't, like, I didn't say that you thought he wasn't enough. I said that from a male perspective, as you're talking, what it makes a man feel like, me, a man listening, is that I'm not enough. What a man thinks. So I didn't put that on you. So I just wanted to clarify that before you keep going, because you were
saying.
Some
men would think that, Manny, I think. Not all men, because some men have their own standard of what they want to achieve, and their own standards that would be like, 135 ain't enough, they would say. And so I wonder, we can't generalize and think about all women and want this and Google searching, and we find what all women want. And all men would feel this way if they heard these words. I hear you, but I'm not sure I completely agree on the generalization there.
Meaning if a man listened to someone who gave a dollar amount and they didn't make that dollar amount, that they would not feel enough? Because I was
that
only speaking,
man would feel that way.
Yeah, I was
that
only speaking though. Specifically to that guy. I wasn't generalizing every man. Fair. I was just saying to the men that make that amount or less, what they would hear is they are not enough. And that's a fair, that's a fair assessment, right?
To the men that are content in the rest of their life making $35,000, I've said this and I'm okay saying this, if they are good and they never want to change that, that's not enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally okay saying that.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate when we start to question women's values because of that. Because, and I'm not saying that you were doing that, I'm just saying the argumentative side of that was this. We set an analogy and it was like, no, I don't want to live somewhere because of someone, a man, saying that he wanted to be my husband, but he was not willing, mm-hmm. having gotten to know me, truly know me, to, and he would feel comfortable enough to say, we can live in one place in America. Like, I just don't think we'd gel on more than just that issue. I just don't think we would gel in more. I don't think that that would be the deal breaker. I don't. I think that there would be other things. I think there'd be limits to their thinking. I think there'd be limits to their dreaming that we wouldn't gel on. I don't think that we would gel in more areas than just that financial area. And I feel like that's what we were getting at, was like, if that was the only thing, I just don't think that would be the only thing. I just don't. And so.
So you're saying that you don't think that that scenario is possible?
Yeah, kind of. I think that there'd be more. I think there'd be more things that we don't gel on. And if that truly somehow in the realm of possibility that we gelled, then I just feel like, and I'm not speaking to potential. I just don't see that being
the. And that's, yeah, that's fair. The only reason I said it or brought it up is because I know people in that situation.
Yeah.
So it's not like a hypothetical for me.
That you would think that I fully gel with.
No, you keep making, I'm not saying about you. No. I know men.
But you're asking my opinion on it.
No, I know, but Bobis,
I love you.
I love you too, but you're taking what I'm saying as if I'm saying it to you and about you. What I'm saying,
oh, Shante, FYA, this is very normal for Maddie and I's conversation.
Yes.
It's all right, y'all are friends. Y'all go way back.
No, no, but I need y'all to understand me, because I definitely don't want you to think I'm not projecting. I'm saying that there are actual men that I know in the situation that I am speaking about, right? So when I'm not talking about a hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
So because I have the conversations with them and they're making a certain amount and they can't live like people who live in LA. 90% of people who live in LA do not make enough. They cannot buy a house. They're not going to be able to buy a car. They can't even dream about it. But we have the conversations consistently. If we want to start a family, we're going to have to move.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say that, I'm not saying that like, oh, this guy, the guy does, you know, he's just, you know, that's not a realistic thing. I know people that are literally saying, if we want to start a family, if we want to get a new car, if we want to buy a house, we got to leave this city and we got to go to some place where we can do it. So
and
the
that's
mass
a season of life that speaks to someone being prepared and planning for a family. And I love that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that I'm, again, not making it about me, but like from my personal perspective, there are so many reasons I would move because of a family from LA, not just for like financial reasons, but like absolutely I would move somewhere else that was more affordable to start a family. Mm-hmm. I think that that's
or to accomplish the things that you guys want to accomplish. So imagine going to say Detroit, right? So say the same guy that makes 35 grand and you move to Detroit and you buy a house, which over there you can get a decent house for about 80 grand, right? 80 grand. A mortgage on 80 grand is about $350 a month.
Is that real? Can you really buy a house without
money? I just bought a house in Marion, Ohio for $74,000 that I'm renting out for $1,300. I know what I'm talking about when I say this. So what I'm saying is these are real places that at your 35 goes like long. So now you're making 35 and you can go travel.
Okay.
Because your house payment is $350. It's less than your car payment. So if you maneuver it, then you get in a place where you're like, oh, now we can take vacations. Now we can help so-and-so, $80,000 house, and I can get a loan for $25,000, build a ADU in the back for my parents, or, you know, and then I'm taking care of my parents. You know what I'm saying? So all I'm saying is there is a way to maneuver that and make that work, and the guy may never get to, you know, whatever. So
what you're saying is more about like, this is why I don't abide by this whole like romanticism too much in relationships, like even in dating, because you have to have these practical conversations.
Yes.
When I'm vetting a guy and we're talking, I'm like, where's his mind? If somebody would have said that, Manny, that kind of thing, listen, we could, I'm thinking and I'm planning and I think we could live in a particular location because money stretches and we can do, now you're showing me that you think. That you have a strategic mindset, that I can trust you, that I'm safe. You're planning.
So, but that was.
I don't care if you made the 35 that much.
But that's why that was my main point. That was my main point was, guys, if you had everything, but just not this, do you walk away? And that's not an assumption or that's not a projection. It's a real ass question of if this person is content and happy in whatever it is.
But what I was just saying, Manny, is that men should be able to articulate what you just did. They should say, listen, I might not be here at a certain point, but I have a vision. I have strategy. We're going to be good. You know what I'm saying? Because now I can trust that. Whether you make 35G or you make 235G a year.
Because those are two very different. It's the same dollar sign, but two men that are different. One man saying, I don't know, we'll go live in Henderson or whatever. Blah, 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 I don't know. Figure it out. And I'm like, oh, shoot.
No, I was actually saying cities that you could live in for cheap. That's what
I don't even know what that is. But like then the second person making the same amount of money has similar values, which is, hey, I've thought about what our life could look like. They give me vision. I can go with vision. Homeboy over here, like, here's what I got in the bank. And
no, but you do understand. You do understand that it was both the same person. One just got the chance to.
They were not.
Yeah, but Beast, I just got the chance to fully lay out what I was trying to say. Like, how.
With that.
So when I initially said, when I initially said, oh, you can move here, you can move there, you can move there. Then the response was, really? That's really.
How was Manny saying it, not the guy?
No, I was still playing the guy because I'm trying to.
Role play didn't work.
That took a long time.
As many details as possible.
But, and this is a great communicative assessment right here. This is great. No, because look, what happened was, and if we can be honest, I'm not saying that because I think you're dishonest, but I'm saying I always say that because I try to be real in this moment of what I'm actually thinking. And when I said what I said, did any part of you guys kind of bow up in the masculine and immediately think like it was a mentality issue as opposed to a contentment issue when I said he was happy where he was at? Like, did any part of you feel like the first thing that went to your mind was he didn't have the right mindset as opposed to
bow up?
Excuse me?
I think we saw me bow up. So I think like, yeah.
Okay. So initially when you heard that, when I said happy, you heard mentality wasn't right because he doesn't want more.
Mentality wasn't right. I meant, I felt, I don't feel safe.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you heard, I didn't feel safe. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying one thing, you're hearing another thing. So then I changed what I said into a way that I was trying to now meet you where y'all were at hearing it, which is when I just broke down the whole plan of, and now you received it. But it was the same guy.
Men need to know how to lead with that. If you want to be a leader and you want to be a man, like it's, you know, when I went to counseling with my ex, we went to a whole counseling thing. The first thing that the counselor said to us was, and she said to him, she doesn't feel safe in this relationship. She doesn't feel safe. And so she's not going to be able to rest and then you take the lead and you be able to do all these things because she doesn't feel safe in that. If a man knows what to do to really gain a woman, like it doesn't matter if this woman is super successful or she's just got her GED, whatever is going on here, right? Or even she got her GED and she may be super successful. So I don't want to misconstrue that. But I'm just saying, no matter what gamut this woman is on, like you have to make sure a woman feels safe. And in that is communicating, saying like what your plan is, your vision, take, you know, be proactive. And if a man doesn't even feel comfortable on a first date to be able to like just be himself and not, you know, there's this fine line of like, what am I trying to say, y'all? Tap in for me.
No, Okay. So in keeping step with that, y'all are all women that have been dating. How many men have been able to effectively communicate like I just did? That y'all have dated?
Current?
We've
had these conversations where it happens with what just happened with you and I before, because part of it is me working through my own, here's what I'm hearing.
I'm talking on average. On most of your dates, can they break down communicatively?
That's the other thing that we haven't even talked about is dating with... being a woman, being either a woman in ministry, a woman in leadership, a woman with influence, being a woman with a life that is has her life together.
Yeah.
I don't go on a lot of dates.
Mm.
Yeah. And now when I do, I'm asking these questions and we're going there, Manny. I'm having these conversations with different men.
She's doing it before the appetizers have been brought out.
We go to the questionnaire.
Yeah, no, I respect it because you don't have time to waste. So you're saying, you guys are saying because of the vocation that you're in, you are now limited.
I don't know if it's vocation. Because I don't know what it is. I just think I just don't. I'm just like, unless there's a reference point or something there that I know is chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. So, I'm good.
I have a little interjection here. And I guess this can speak to Jizzy and this can speak to you, Elise. I am curious as to like the vetting process or the filtering out process when it comes to somebody, especially if you have to see people all the time or if you're out in the public or if you're a public figure, you know, and there's like a fine line between somebody who's a fan or a supporter or this and that, like having to discern those, like, should I entertain this? Because also somebody could start in one box and they could end up, you know, slowly but surely checking off the rest of the boxes. But at the beginning, it looks real, real shifty sometimes. It's like,
yeah, I think that for me, I met my boyfriend. I have a boyfriend. Speaking at a conference. I was speaking at a women's conference. And so in a sense, if you will, in a weird way, like he was at the conference. He was at the Sunday services I was preaching at. So for me, I definitely had that thought of like, oh my gosh, like, just, and because for me, my immediate fear is he likes to go on stage. Yeah. That's a side of me, but that's not all of me. And so I think that's the biggest fear for us that have platform things that we do, just like in every area, people, is that, that person saw a side of me, but they don't really know me. And so they like that side, but I don't want to have to be her all the time. There's so many other sides of me. And so for me, it was like a slowly but surely thing. We didn't meet we met obviously in person that weekend, and there was chemistry, which is that intangible thing that there are different, Manny can explain it later. But there's chemistry. And so I knew there was chemistry, and I knew I liked him, and he had a quick wit, and I was like, oh, okay. And then he slid into my DMs, and that's when I was like, oh.
Slid into my DMs.
What if he doesn't?
Yes, like, what's the correct, like, how was it the way that he approached you in the DMs that was like, okay, he seems like a pretty solid individual?
He was very direct. I think there's a difference between someone that likes the persona and a man. With that, he said to me, I remember the DM, I could look it up, but like, not anymore probably, but
look it up.
I was like, all right, give me a life story in an Instagram DM or something. And he did. And he was like, I already got yours from your sermon, but I want the real life story. And he said like all of it. And I wrote back and said, let me know if you have any suggestions. And he immediately wrote back, cause I gave him an opportunity. And he said, FaceTime, what's your number? And to me, it showed initiative, which a lot of guys in my experience where I lived in California didn't have. They were happy to go back and forth and banter and just show their friends screenshots of messages back and forth. And at least we talk. This guy wanted immediately to put something offline on it.
Yes.
And so
that's attractive. Immediately,
exactly. So for me, I just got this feeling of like, he's in control. I like it. I just knew I liked it. I just knew that I was like, okay. And so I gave him my number and he texted me. And the next day, I think we FaceTimed, and immediately my like guard was up of like, hey, just so you know, the one you saw on stage is a side of me, I think I like cussed or something like that, just to be like, yo, I'm
rebel. And I drink, and you had a drink
like,
right there.
Something. I had a drink like right there as well. I was like, yeah, like I love Jesus, but also, you know. And he was not, the only time that he was ever like, what are you doing? Was when I was trying to play pretend. And we got into arguments about that, similar to me and Manny's arguments, because like, he is very upfront with how he feels. He's very this is how it is, like very masculine, if you want, if you will, not loud, not like loud, like masculine, but just like knows how he feels and knows whatever. So for me, there was a certain part that I had to risk it. But I think that a lot of women that are in a leadership or influence position, the fear is in the risk. Mm. And it's not jump straight in and be like, be my boyfriend. But it's like, give them an opportunity to see if they're really a man or if they just want to play around.
Yeah.
And I think men, I don't know, Manny, what do you think? I'm a female talking about it.
Well, I think it's interesting that you said the risk, because I think within all of us, and this is something that's like real, is that we all have this like side of us that's can be gnarly. It can be nasty. So, because when I hear you say, he was direct in his DMs. Remember all the guys that were direct when you were on the dating app, and we were like, "Ew, why is he being so whatever? Why is he being so whatever?" Maybe like the timing, of where you were at in life was able to see this as, I think this is attractive. Whereas not every dude can probably send you that, and 99% of them will probably be like, why is he trying to FaceTime me so soon? Yeah. It all depends on where you're at, who the person is, if you had the chemistry initially. So I think it's always going to be a risk, because within all of us, we have the measure to be evil. All of us.
Yeah.
We have within us to play each other out. In the name of protection, I'm going to hurt you before you hurt me. I'm going to wall myself up before you can get to me. So there's this part of us that we have to acknowledge in this game of love. There's snakes in you and there's snakes in me. But this love thing is worth taking this gamble, right? Because we got to gamble, because the only other person to fall in love with is another human. And I think that's kind of what makes it so valuable, is that we have snakes in us. We have this ability to crush each other, and we don't. We hold back in the name of love.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really beautiful part. And it's interesting that all three of you guys are people with platforms, because when I'm hearing you guys say the things that you're saying, like you're worried about them seeing you in this way, that again is like a very masculine, you know, because most dudes are like, oh, does she love me for money? Does she, like, I see how you have to transiently go in and out of this thought process, as opposed to just being like, he just likes me for me. Well, it's not, because 99% of women will never experience what you guys do. They're not going to be on stage. They're not going to be, you know, influencers. They're the person that you guys are influencing. There's not a lot of you guys out there. There's just not. You're very special. So that's the thing where it's like, these are unique problems to you, when most girls are going to the conference, not freaking speaking at it. You know what I'm saying? So it's very, it's a privileged position you guys have, and hard, because then now you do have to think about these things. Like, is he a freaking limelight grabber? Like, is he attracted to that? Is that bad? I don't think so. I love that. When you preach, I'm like, yes, she's in her freaking element. Let's go. There's no other time where you're more attractive than when you're in your purpose. So I don't know if that would be a negative thing. I think it would be negative when that's all they see you as, like what you said.
Right.
Like, they don't care about the other side. They're more interested on where you're flying to next.
It's them, basically.
Correct. Or how that can bring value to their life, as opposed to, I see what you're doing. Like with Ange, I see what you're doing. I'm going to figure out a way to make that better for you. Knowing that the better you get, it falls onto me.
The better we get, right?
Yeah. Like, right. So that's awesome. I'm not trying to build me in this. There was even one time when I had a conversation with Ange, and I was like, babe, should I just like use all my talents to help you? Because I'm fighting an uphill battle. I'm fighting a podcast that I'm trying to get off the ground, another music career after having two record deals that I've had. I'm fighting an uphill battle, and it's hard. But everywhere you go, you succeed. It kind of looks like I should be putting all my cards in your deck. Like, I should be like fully just supporting you. And now that's my mentality, because I see us as one. It's just like,
what did she say? I'm curious. Because she's like us. She's like us out here. So what did she say to you in response?
I mean, she believes in me, you know? And I initially, when we were talking about that guy who doesn't make a lot of money, like, I was that guy. When I was in Group One Crew, my peak year Before my last year, I made 60 grand once. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Every other year I made 20, 25. And I remember telling her, I made $35,000 last year. I may never make more. I never chase money. I only chase God and purpose. If that's not okay with you, we could stop right now. That was the conversation that I had with her. Because I'm not intimidated by money. I don't care what you have. I only care where God is meeting me. And if he's leading me to a $35,000 salary a year, that's where I'm going to be at. And I will learn to live my life at that level. And that's what I told her. But then when I got with her, I knew how to become wealthy. For some reason, God just never brought it to me. But then when he brought my wife, I done tripled our net worth.
Hey.
Now I'm like, but I'm still the guy. Now, I'm making six figures now, but I'm nowhere near her. And it took some time for me to find my way to six figures. And so I always am so grateful that she really did care about the character within me and not looked at, damn, this guy. She told me, I can take care of myself. I'm good. And so what I came in is I supplemented everything. She don't do anything anymore.
Were you always ambitious and were you always showing her
always
that you have vision?
Yeah, no. I was making it work because
she didn't have blind faith, man. And she was like, okay, I could take care of me because I see what you are capable of. And I can believe in you because I see where you're heading. You weren't just like, nah, I'm going to just be 35.
No, but it could have been a bust. It could have not worked. So it was important that she loved $35,000 Manny or Manny that was trying to out there eking out an existence, trying to tell people about Jesus, paying everybody first and paying himself last. Those are all character building issues for me. So I never saw the money because I got into it not thinking about that. I just saw Jesus in it all, you know? So I fully believe with every fiber in me, just in talking with you guys, that you are those women. That you would see that, you would see the me, Manny, the 35,000 Manny, and you would take a gamble on me. Mm-hmm. I don't think you guys are I think everything in your heart would be like, this is something, I'm gonna freaking foster it.
Yeah, that's what I was saying from the very beginning.
But we know that, but it's, you know, all these communicative ways that men and women communicate, it's so important to really break that down. Like, it's only in real times like this and real conversations that we can actually be like, true. Oh, okay, you're saying this, I'm hearing this. Oh, okay, but you're saying this and I'm hearing this. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's meet at the truth, you know? Which is like, we all would do what we needed to do if we found the real thing. Because I think for me, all rules go out the window. I never wanted to marry a Mexican. I was never attracted to him, you know? I was in a white girl phase for like 10 years. Never Latino, like it was weird. Like, I had very strict list. You know what I'm saying? The girl that I was with before Ange was a freaking Laker girl. Like, I was on that. And I threw my list out the window and I said, I've gotten everything that I want and it's gotten me nowhere.
You brought them hot Cheetos and tamales and all this stuff, the chola. You were like, yes.
No, I'm not like that at all. I don't eat the Cheetos and I don't eat the tamales, but I'm like, my wife is freaking badass. And she's everything that I needed, and I would have never gave her a chance because of all these dumb things that I've conjured up, and that was on me. You know what I'm saying? So I think for you guys, I have this question, this one last question, and this is like a serious one because we're talking about faith and dating. Mm-hmm. Do we do a disservice to ourselves by separating the question, what do men want, as opposed to what do Christian men want? Have you found Christian men acting damn near the same as the other dudes? But we're mentally separating them as if they're different because they have this claim of Jesus.
Lord, that's a whole topic. You ready for this? Shantae, you want to start? Give us your thoughts.
Does that make sense?
I need more intel because... honestly, the only guys I've dealt with have been Christian guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, as far as like just interacting off the cuff, like nothing going beyond that.
But do they feel more like normal dudes than Christian dudes? Because I guess I wonder that if we throw the faith thing in there, that we then come mm-hmm. with expectations of how they should be, as opposed to right. looking at us, each other as humans and realizing that we're all trying to follow this faith. Hmm. Because if you come into it thinking, and I'll use me for example, oh, I get married. I was always taught that three strands cannot be broken. You know, me, my wife, and Jesus. And I'm not going to look left to the right. It's going to be magical. We're going to have sex and no one else is going to be sexy to me. And then I quickly realized I'm attracted to other people. And if I don't foster or at least acknowledge that, mm-hmm. and I love Jesus, but I've been, you know, situated where I'm like, oh my gosh, I genuinely so care about it. I care about this person. I need to like be aware of that. Oh, okay. This is way more human than Christian to me, because all the me believing that the three strands didn't work. It's more like, know that you're human chasing after God, as opposed to coming with a pre-thought of, oh, we're Christians. So I guess that's the question is, do we do ourselves a disservice?
I think it goes back to the filters of the online dating thing. For me, it's really hard to say yes or no on filters of it. I need to meet them. I need to see them. I think that somebody's life speaks for them. And I think that where they are now and how they got there is what I'm much more interested in than what did they say on their profile. Because evidently it's very easy to say you're a Christian, to tick a box. That's the problem in our country. Is that we have a lot of people professing the faith that don't look like Jesus at all. And so mm-hmm. I think that that is where you go. Jesus created safe spaces for women. He esteemed women. He made room for them where other people didn't. I'm looking for that. I'm not looking for someone who ticks a Christian box. I'm looking for someone who's following Jesus and their life is the fruit of that. So I think that that only comes with time, with conversations, with the fruit of their life, with looking at their life. I think that all of that, that's why I think like literally not finances of what you were talking about, but at the beginning where I said like, yeah, I want to see someone's credit score, not because I care about a dollar amount, because I want to see how responsible they are, because I do.
Oh, 100%. 100%. That I agree.
That speaks to disciplines and choices and all that kind of thing in someone's life. And I think that speaks to their faith. I do.
Well, that's biblical. So I think where your heart is, where your treasure is, your heart will be mm-hmm. also. That's 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. And absolutely. To me, honestly, sorry, but I've met a lot of quote unquote Christians that are just weird, man. Like, I'm like, did you forget that you're a human being on this earth? Like,
yeah,
don't be weird. And so like, also I've met some Christians and I even struggle with that a little bit, because although that is the checkbox sure. of what I can identify as, I'm not a textbook Christian per se all the time. So I've met some Christians, quote unquote, and they're like intolerable of other people. Mm-hmm. They're not open-minded, and they're very kind of like often way too politically extreme, or they're kinky and nasty. Like they got like, mm. listen, we got some stories here about the feet, foot fetishes and all kinds of weird stuff that's coming out of the woo-ha. I'm trying not to.
The rest not, I'm not doing this. I don't want to participate.
Is
that bad? Is that bad to have kinks? Is that bad?
You can have whatever, but you know, it's not that. It's if you go to a place where it starts getting perverted in the sense of you don't know how to create boundaries and control, and now we're just kind of acting like two animals. I'm not into that. Mm-hmm. So that's just me. But, you know, lots of different things, you know, so it's to me, you could have the label of Christian, but like, it goes back to a lot of what Elise was just saying. I'll just concur.
It kind of breaks apart the whole thought of, and I don't know if I believe it like I used to, the whole verse of don't be unequally yoked. Mm-hmm. I used to think that meant don't be yeah. with a non-Christian. Now right, I think right, that right. means figure out your core values and be with that person. Wherever they land. Now, yeah. will it make it harder for you to introduce them to your religion? Sure. Can two people who are not of the same religion work? 100%. Because I have...
Yeah, statistically, we've seen it.
Statistically, the people that I went to a Bible college with, more than half of them are all divorced. Sure. So it's like, oh, okay, Jesus is not the magic glue. Let's stop saying that he is. The magic glue is you choosing the other person before you in every instance. That's the magic. Don't be selfish. Choose them. And that is, in doing that, you follow the life of Jesus, because Jesus chose us.
I think for me, the unequally yoked just to me goes deeper than just do you call yourself a Christian? Mm-hmm. So for me, it still includes just, and then this is might just be for me. For me, it still very much includes, do you call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Do you still profess the faith of Christian? To me, that is, but it is so much deeper than just that. Because I, again, as a divorced woman in ministry, have seen that that doesn't work. Someone can profess their faith and not know how to adult and not know how to be vulnerable and not know how to be married and not choose you.
Or live a damn near double life.
Well, yeah, I'll live a damn near double life. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it's like, that's why I talk about, and we've talked about it so much, so I'll let the other women talk, but like, it's so much deeper than just what do they call themselves.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, I do think faith is an important part. I'm on the fence with unequally yoked. I guess I can just say that. Let's just say before, if you would have came to me and said, I'm dating a guy who doesn't love Jesus, but he's freaking amazing, and I think I want to marry him, I wouldn't say what I would have said 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I would have told you.
I did date a guy that wasn't a Christian.
Yeah. I would go to is core values first. How does he argue? Right? How is he with finances? You know, because arguing, if you can argue well, you'll make it. That's because you'll avoid hurting each other. There won't be all these little scars that are gonna mount up into something really, really bad. So learning how to handle disagreements, super important.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody who's amicable, who can mold to each other. These are like top traits. How are they with finances? Kind of what Giselle was saying, sexpectations. All these things are like the main reasons why people divorce. So I would go there first, because whether they're a believer or not, if they don't know these things and they can just quote scripture, but they don't know how to argue and they hurt you every time that they speak because they can't control their anger.
I don't think it should be an either or.
No, I agree. Yeah. I'm saying
if someone's heart is wrapped up in God's heart, then all those things, how you view sex, how you view money management, how you view dealing with another person, your own masculinity or your own femininity, whatever it is, like, I think it'll stem from that place for me. Because a lot of me and how I manage my life, it stems from my faith. It stems from that.
Right.
So but I hear you.
What I was saying, I was more agreeing with Bobis, because I'm saying I see those things first, because I think those are the things you can't hide. You can hide behind scripture. You can tick the box. Okay. I'm a believer. But once you get in there, your first argument with them and they're fucking throwing daggers, they're trying to hurt you. Then
being a little boy, a little child.
You could have gone to church 50 times. You're going to be like, this dude don't love Jesus. He's trying to hurt me. Like he is angry and rageful. That's not God. You know what I'm saying? So if I were going to determine what makes a relationship successful, I would go to those first. Whereas before, I would be like, as long as they love Jesus, we can make it work.
Yeah,
right.
But we used to be taught that, right? Like that was it. Like make sure they love God. Make sure they love God. That's the number one important. I know a girl that went to Bible college with me and she married this dude who's never been a believer. When I tell you he's the sweetest, most nicest, and their marriage is so good, I'm just like, and then I look at everyone else we went to college with and they're all divorced and they were in ministry, like pastors' wives, worship leaders, all divorced, and this guy who doesn't know Jesus out here just having a successful marriage.
Look, I think there's a title of a Christian or saying that you love Jesus and all that, but then there's the actual position of your heart.
Yeah.
And if your position of your heart is really there, then everything else stems from that. It's like, you know, you could have a title all day long and live a ratchet life, or someone could not have the title and actually be more living a lifestyle like if they were, because their heart is coming from that place. And I'm just going to throw this out here real quick. I know it's not popular to say, but oh well.
Say it.
God is love. God is love. And if somebody is doesn't necessarily have that title, but they're walking from that premise in that place, it's about the disposition and where their heart's at. And maybe later they'll bump into some title and understand mm-hmm. that what they're doing is maybe some label of Christianity or whatnot and right. start following that. But you know, it's the heart that it, and I think we get it twisted too with what Christianity is. It's not just some label and some dogma and some don't do this, don't do that, but it's really like what happens to your transformation of your heart, renewing of your mind and transformation of your heart.
Yeah. No, it's an elevated way of thinking. I think you are correct in saying that most Christianity has limited itself to like nationalism and politics, at least in our country. It's become more about voting for or against abortion than having empathy for the sister that's going through the abortion.
Yep.
It's like, I don't see the sin. I see the hurting person who feels like they have to do this. Like, I just want to meet her where she's at. I'm not trying to see everything else. That's not where we've positioned ourselves as a church. Shante, were you going to say something?
I have a question about the couple that you just mentioned. And you said the guy is the one that is not a believer?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think that he is like, I guess my question is, how is the wife's influence on him? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you think that he's like extremely influenced by her faith?
I honestly, you know what I honestly know it to be? You guys ever meet those people who don't go to church, but you're like, you're the best freaking Christian I've ever met. Yes. Like, you act more Christian than my pastor does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's that guy.
So he is a Christian.
It's like he's doing everything as Christ would, but he doesn't go to church and call himself a Christian. So it's,
do you think he has a relationship with God?
Man, I mean, at this point, I don't know. Like, we've never had that conversation, but it's very difficult to not know some version of God and act the way he does, because he is just,
I'm curious.
Yeah. It's a beauty. Now, would I say everybody go date non-believers? I wouldn't say that, because more often than not, that relationship is going to implode. At some point, they're not going to honor or respect your beliefs. They're going to think it's silly, and it's going to come to a head. And so I don't think that you win more than you lose in that scenario. But the staunch me would have always said, that's a loss. And I've been wrong twice, calling things a loss. And both people are happily married 10 years later. So I shut my mouth. Now it's like, nope, anything could work. Is it going to be harder? Sure. But anything can work. So it's just, I think, more on character. Last question. In one year, if each of you had your ideal, where would you be?
Shante, you gotta start us off, girl. Listen, start, girl.
Where would you be in 1 year?
At these.
1 year, Shante. Where would you be in 1 year? Just be as hopeful as you can be.
Where would I be in 1 year? Just like as an individual?
Or ideally, no. Ideally in life.
Come on, free your dream, girl. That's your song. Go ahead.
Because we need to speak these things into existence. We need to say these things. Like, we need to let love know that hope is still alive in us.
Absolutely. So in 1 year, I definitely want to be touring with this new album that's coming out. So. Yep. I definitely want to have released a documentary that I'm working on. Also, it's a Huntington's disease awareness documentary that also kind of includes my life story, as well as some other people that are inspirational. So I want that to be, I either want to have like a film festival type of thing, celebration, or I don't know, have it streaming somewhere, like on a service. Netflix or PBS or one of the services. I want to be living my best life.
Okay.
All across the board. I want to be in my fitness journey, continuing to make waves in my fitness journey, and just be a better person relationally, you know?
Yeah.
making balancing out work life, family, just being a better human.
Okay.
I know that's kind of like, ooh.
No, no. I love it. I love it. Yeah. Giselle, Bobies.
I hope that I'm gonna be closer to marriage at that point. I hope that I would have been in a relationship with somebody already who I was getting to know, we were vibing well, and we were taking our time to enter into a marriage phase, and exploring and enjoying life together. That's what I'm hoping for. And yes, be at a place of peace and inner contentment, like just like I've never experienced before. I want to walk in the pace of peace. I want to enjoy my life. And that's what I'm really after these days. It's not so much accumulating things. It's more like I really want to enter into a place of the most peace and self-acceptance and love and everything that I've ever had. And I want to enjoy that with someone that I'm in love with. Mm.
What she said. What she said.
I love it. Bobies?
I probably want to, you said like a year if I got everything I wanted, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd be engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I'd be engaged. And the pieces would be closer together than they are right now. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pieces in my life, but I think they'd be closer together. And the puzzle, I mean, you never really have clarity because it changes. And even when you do, it changes again. I think, yeah, it would be like that. And I think that I would, yeah, because I think if I'm engaged, then I'm like merging two lives. And I think that would be going well, whatever that looks like. I'm not tied to anything. So like, I love my life so much and what I'm doing. And I hope that I'm still doing that. And I will be still doing it because I can't help it. But I hope that that is merging really well, and all the bits and pieces around it and the details around it are falling into place, and I'm happy.
Mm. I love, yeah. I love these answers. I want to say, Shantae, yes. Your spirit is so sweet. Yes. You have this softness to you that's so warm, mm, is the only way I can say it. And it's very, okay, I feel safe. Like, I feel like your man will feel safe in you, which I know it's supposed to be the other way around, but there are times where men also want to be small for a second in the privacy of their own home. And I feel like you create that well. Giselle, your time has not been wasted. The way you talk and communicate lets me know that you have not been sitting on your ass just waiting for someone. Everything that you say is so poignant and so well thought and so measured with a sense of reality, and at the same time a sense of knowing yourself. And that's a marriage that most people cannot do. Most people are so jaded, they either go with one or the other. They either decide to not accept reality because it hurts too much, or they decide to double down and just be like, fuck it. If you don't like me, then it's whatever. But you have married the two so well that I'm like, wow, she has not wasted a single moment of her life. I think you've maximized it in becoming an amazing person. And this is just me meeting you for this hour and some minutes. So
you better tell something to Elise because I'm ready for it. Let's go. You already are.
I wasn't ready.
Bobies already knows how I feel about it. I've known Bobies for a minute. So Bobies is a person in my life.
He tells me all the time.
Where I feel like anyone who asks the question whether they need to be with her or not, I think is foolish. She's one of the most amazing people I've ever met. Where people see big personality, I see joy. I see sunshine. I see light. I see smiles when I'm coming home. I see everything that someone would even come close to thinking as a negative. It's because they see the world too small. But if you see it through her, you see it exactly as it should be, which is vibrant, beautiful, audacious, hysterical. And it's like, she's just the best to me. So that's, and I speak honestly, I don't blow smoke. So I am so appreciative that you guys would share your thoughts and all of your words. I think you guys are worthy to be looked up to. I hope the women that have heard everything, that will hear everything that you guys have said, I know they're going to be like inspired and invested in your journey. Cause now I'm invested. Now I am fully invested. So in a year, Shantae,
maybe we need to do another one in 12 months and see where are they now.
Let's report back.
It's so important to speak the things out that we seek, because one thing I was researching today was people lose hope in love and then it takes a downturn. And there's times we have to remind ourselves now, it's like we need to continue to hope in this thing that seems so unreachable. Because the second we stop believing that it can happen, then that's when we start getting jaded and then we become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now people don't want to be with us because we're just ill. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's important to speak that kind of thing and in a member of people like us, so that we can check in and be like, yo, how's the documentary? How's the fitness journey? How's the getting close to married? Who are you dating? How does he seem? You know what I'm saying? Are the pieces coming closer together? Like, these are beautiful conversations that I will continue to have with you guys. So thank you.
Love you.
I've had a blast talking to you guys. And if you guys are still around with us, please hit the like, subscribe, leave a comment for these beautiful ladies. I promise you it'll mean the world. And we're so, so grateful for you guys. And like we always like to say, we pray you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are always welcome at ours. Cheers.
Beautiful. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ever notice your dog slowing down and having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Rough Greens to your dog's food for 90 days and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings. Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Rough Greens here, and I invite you to give your pup the Rough Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your dog will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch your dog a free Jumpstart trial bag today. Go to tryroughgreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. That's TRYRUFF. Go to tryroughgreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your dog's food to improve your dog's health. Just add a scoop of Rough Greens.